Okay. Today I also figured out that I can use the laser pointer without, even if it doesn't connect to my computer. Perfect. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here again. We just heard a very interesting talk about the aging brain, and now we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum as I introduce to you the work of our lab on the characterization of pediatric brain viscoelasticity. So we know that during development, the brain undergoes a massive amount of changes, right? So first of all, we have changes in the white and gray matter volume. The volume just increases very much, of course, especially during the early years. The ratios of white and gray matter rate are also different. They grow at different speeds, so that the ratio of white to gray matter overall varies in time. We have variations in all the possible things, CSF flow, composition. We have a formation of neural networks, of course, then pruning of them. As I said, different anatomical parts also mature at earlier or later stages of development. And finally, we have a giant increase in myelination, especially during the infancy and early years. So in a nutshell, we can just basically say, you know, the pediatric brain is not just a smaller version of the adult one, but is rather something super dynamic and very different, which we are highly interested in exploring from a mechanical perspective. So why would you like to study the brain mechanical properties in vivo? The idea is that, first of all, we'd like to decipher the link between the mechanical properties and the microstructural variations that have been already pointed out and shown by a number of ex vivo and also in vitro study from the single cell level. We want to understand a relationship with pathology because, as we've just heard, of course, variations in the structure of the brain, like it happens during MS or Alzheimer's, can lead to softening or significant alterations in the viscoelasticity. But also we're interested in developing preventive strategies against traumatic brain injury, against TBI. Especially, I just moved to the United States and it's a big topic there, especially regarding techniques for making children less vulnerable, let's say, to injury. So thankfully, thanks to MRE, we now have the tools for understanding these issues a bit better. And the questions we were especially interested here in answering are, how do the broadband mechanical properties of the brain vary during childhood and adolescence? How does the brain stiffness correlate with myelin content, as we have extensive data from in vivo studies, even in murine models of MS, for example, like in this work from Schregel, where a demyelinating brain is analyzed with MRE and it shows significant softening, okay? So we want to understand whether this link exists also in vivo for the pediatric brain. And finally, it would be interesting to understand, since this is something we strongly hypothesized, what mechanical parameter would be the best correlate of myelination. So to briefly go over our methods, we the brain is a viscoelastic material, right? So its behavior is rate dependent, which is why we implemented a multi-frequency approach. And therefore, we decided to scan at multiple frequencies from 20 to 100 with 10 hertz steps. Also because we wanted to, you know, make sure we wouldn't be missing some maybe relevant, interesting events as the pediatric brain changes and develops so quickly that maybe a single frequency might miss some of the underlying microstructural changes. So we tested different material models to fit this multi-frequency behavior. As it was already described and reported by a group of Dr. Sack, the Zener model, SLS model, let's say, also known, was the best fit to our data. But given that scan times are very long if you want to go over such a broad spectrum, and convincing a 7-year-old to stay still in a device is especially challenging, we tried to optimize scan time a little bit by optimizing a protocol in which we selected only three frequencies for, let's say, trying to describe the behavior of a whole curve. And this was done very quickly as follows. We basically sampled these three frequencies randomly, and for all possible triplets, we calculated the Zener fit again, and then at that point, we minimized the difference with the data we really observed. So this, based on this protocol, we optimized our multi-frequency acquisition, protocol, and then we chose frequencies of 40, 60, and 80 hertz to work with. Here are the some imaging parameters. Our cohort consisted of 27 healthy volunteers, about half of which were female and half male, so we avoided gender bias in our cohort. We worked with direct inversion, with a 3T GE MRI scanner, standard head pillow actuation from Mayo Clinic. These are a little bit the details. Then, as I said, we were interested in looking at how myelination correlates with the content, with the mechanical properties of the brain. And for that, we used a semi-quantitative myelin mapping based on the T1 weighted over T2 weighted ratio. So here we basically just divided the images pixel-wise after skull stripping and bias correction. And let's go to what we found. So what we saw, very interestingly, is that the mechanical properties of the brain are age-dependent. When we divide them over three age groups, both for the shear stiffness, storage, and loss modulus, we see a kind of U-turn, okay? That is something that is known for other things happening in development as well. We see an increase in the stiffness that then goes down again. We observed the statistical significance between the stiffness of the first two age groups. It almost looks like, from a mechanical perspective, the brain starts aging at 14 years old already, which is kind of frightening, if you ask me, but it's also, you know, it relates to everything we already know about how smart children are. So when we go perform a Zener fit again to obtain, let's say, frequency-independent parameters, we observe similar trends, okay, in the stiffening and softening. So this is also, so far, well in line with published data, for example, work of Schregel that I reported before, but the loss modulus, especially, is something that varies. So what we did next was try to correlate, as I was mentioning, these parameters with the myelination content, which is why for each single volunteer, we isolated, let's say, the white matter parts in our images, and we performed a Pearson's correlation analysis with our different mechanical parameters. So this is just basically another representation of a histogram of the pixels of the white matter, okay? So the relative myelin content can be taken as an indication, as a rough indication of the different anatomical structures. And doing this for each single volunteer and then looking at the whole cohort, what we saw is that the correlation becomes higher at lower loading rates, first of all, and is especially pronounced for the loss modulus. So we found really high correlation values here. And what is nice is that these correlations were not age dependent. So it seems like this method is rather robust against age group. And it tells us that, you know, under certain actuation frequencies and imaging frequencies, in case you don't have an MRE available, a myelin map might be an interesting substitute for indicating, at least, the mechanical properties change. So we've just heard wonderfully interesting things about different brain parts and how you know, their local changes can have a strong impact on function. And here we started also looking at certain anatomical regions, especially the deep white matter. These are data for the corpus callosum. And in this case, we basically identified them and looked at the individual trends once more if performing the Zener model analysis. And here we see that you know, the change is exacerbated. So locally, structures can have an even larger variance over the developmental spectrum of that is higher than the whole average brain. And this is kind of in line with what we expect, thinking about how much the anisotropy changes during development, right? How much the different anatomical regions vary in terms of microstructure as well. So this is why we started performing, comparing, let's say, the whole brain to specific parts. And we see here isolation and a, let's say, developmental trend for the corpus callosum. So as an outlook, what we'd like to do in the future, starting from this work, is going towards improving the amount, let's say, the way in which we can quantitatively measure the myelin, for example, looking at magnetization transfer ratios. We're very interested in investigating the anatomical variance, as I said, of all these mechanical properties, which is something we started doing already by analyzing histological and ex vivo data. And finally, we would like eventually to go towards animal work, allowing us to also test these hypotheses in vivo and correlate them with ex vivo data. So if I have one take-home message for you, that would be that during development, the pediatric brain has a has mechanical properties that change very much and which are highly correlated with the microstructure underneath. So to acknowledge the work of everyone, this is mostly the work of Dr. Kurt during his postdoctoral work. We also had Efe Oskayeva did a wonderful job at going on with this. This is our lab. These are our founding sources and people we owe a big thanks to. So Dr. Kurt was very sad he couldn't be here today because he could just not travel at this moment. It was beyond his power. But we are very happy to be here. And we are recruiting right now. So if any students would like to come and work with you on the skyline of Manhattan, we'd be very happy to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you, wonderful work. I know that you just mentioned at the end that you were wanting to look for more improved methods to quantify the myelin. What did you use to quantify it in the present, in the work that you showed here?
We used T1 weighted over T2 weighted ratio. So when you divide pixel-wise the two images, you basically get an enhancement of a contrast for the myelin tissue fat.
Yeah. I have a question, actually. Your Zenner model gives you two shear moduli, mu1 and mu2.
Yes.
How would you interpret those two?
Oh, that's a great question. That is kind of a tricky question to answer because it's this is a semi-empirical model that describes
right.
The overall behavior, right? So what we're interested in is the long-term against the instantaneous rate, right? So
yep.
Over the long-term, the damper will prevail, and instantly we have this spring-like behavior. So I don't think we can have a really clear-cut assignment of one elastic constant over the other to specific brain parts or anything. It's a kind of average idea, I guess.
Any other questions?
I was just wondering, for the children, do you lower your power for the, like, do you remember what power you used to actually vibrate the head? Did you have to reduce that quite a bit?
The actuation sequence is pretty standard. It's the standard one. So it's the same one as we use in the adults. I didn't do the scans myself, so I might have to double check on that. But
I just don't think the amplitude was at 30% or.
No.
Yeah.
As far as I know, it's the same protocol as in adults. But we still, I mean, it's children of 7 years at least. So it's we're not talking about infants or babies or.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not damaging. Anyway.
Oh, okay. You want to combine studies and take over MRE
I'm
aging?
Sorry.
Do you want to combine studies and we'll take over?
Combined studies.
Yeah, aging, right? No. in your last results slide,
yes,
it was pretty flat for mu1. Do you know why that is?
Sorry. Here.
In the corpus callosum.
The viscosity, you said.
Oh, that's.
But sorry, what did you say is pretty flat?
Mu1 looks flat for a corpus callosum. Do you know why that's?
Oh, yes, it does. No, that's a good question. We're not so sure. As I said before, this mu1, mu2 are, I mean, hard to interpret in a sense in a very separated way, right? So it might be a fit effect. We would have to think about that more.